Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
Merry Christmas, and welcome to Hope Community Church Cotswold. My name is Stephen. I'm the pastor here, and whether you're a member, a regular attender, you're in town visiting family, you're visiting from the community or from one of our other Hope sites, I'm so glad that you have joined us today to worship on Christmas Eve, to sing these great songs like O Holy Night, which I love. Such a classic Christmas carol. You probably have heard it, well, you have heard it, whether you've sung it in church before or not. It's in the church scene of Home Alone, where he goes in and he meets the guy who shovels the salt in his neighborhood. If you haven't watched Home Alone yet this year, there's still time, don't worry. But you may not know the story behind the lyrics. I didn't. I went and looked them up to see what was going on. It's written by a French man named Placide Capot, who was born in 1808. And when he was young, he was playing around with a firearm with another friend, and he was shot in the hand. And so they had to amputate it at an early age, which meant he couldn't follow in his father's footsteps as a cooper, he building barrels. Instead, he went the academic route. He went to college, and he studied literature. He became a merchant of fine wines and spirits. Then he went to law school and became a lawyer. But literature was always his heartbeat. And at one point in the 1830s, the local town priest reached out to him and asked him to write a poem commemorating the completion of the church's organ being renovated. That doesn't sound too odd. He's a literature buff. He's in town. Everybody knows that. The only thing was, he is a rabid atheist and a vocal anti-cleric, meaning he hated the church. And yet this priest asked him to write a poem, and he did. He went and read the entire Gospel of Luke, and the poem that he wrote are the words to O Holy Night. And if the story stopped there, it would be pretty cool. But there was an opera singer named Emily Lary, who read the poem and thought, I want to sing this at midnight mass. But Placide didn't write any music for it. So she sent it to her friend, who was a Jewish composer, and he wrote the melody to O Holy Night that she sang at midnight mass on Christmas 3 weeks later. Just from reading the gospel according to Luke, the story of Jesus' birth and his life, his death, and resurrection, an atheist, an opera singer, and a Jewish composer. Now, that's not the beginning of a joke. That is the continuation of the awe that reaches throughout history. It stretches across cultures and personal stories. The awe that comes from understanding God was born in Bethlehem all those years ago. God chose to become human in order to reach his people, to love them, to save them, to forgive them, and to draw them into his family. And if you were to read the Gospel of Luke, that's exactly what you would see. And hopefully that awe would pierce your heart as well. That was the goal. And it reminds me of a passage from the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2. When Jesus was 40 days old, his parents took him to the temple in order to offer the traditional sacrifices for a firstborn child. And someone was waiting for them. Luke chapter 2, 25 says this. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation. That means that God had made some promises to the people of Israel, that he would come and comfort them, ease their pain and suffering, gather them together, and throw off the opposing Roman Empire. This man, Simeon, was looking forward to God keeping his promises. And, Luke says, the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah, the person God had promised to start all of this. Verse 27, guided by the Spirit, Simeon entered the temple. when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel." This is it. The moment that Simeon had been waiting for basically his whole life. And because it's such a big moment for him, he writes a song. And he starts his song by saying, "This is what I've been waiting for." He says, "God, you have kept your promise to me. I have seen the person that you promised to send that will be salvation, will be rescue, will be comfort for all of my people. I can die happy now." For generations, Simeon's people had been waiting for this moment. His father, his grandfather, his friends, his neighbors had been waiting for God to show up and keep his promises. And Simeon says, "This is it. I know that you have done this." But he doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit directs Simeon's words, and his awe, his excitement, his hope all come out in this great twist, the surprise that no one was expecting. Simeon says, "Whoa, this child is not just for me, not just for my people. God, you have prepared your salvation for all peoples. You have given a light for revelation to the Gentiles." And this is exactly what I need to remember this Christmas. Because I know in my head, Jesus came for me. I know God loves me, and Jesus' death and resurrection are the guarantee and the security of God's love. But what I think, at the way that I live day in and day out, is that God really loves me when I have my life together. When I lose my temper, when I get judgmental, there's no way God could love me then. It's only when I've got my life together that God could love me. But what Simeon says here, what we heard and sang in O Holy Night, is the opposite. God has come for everyone. Jesus is the sign of God's love for you right now. You see, for generations, the people of Israel thought God was coming to rescue and comfort and gather together those who deserve him, who have kept the law, who have been good. But when Simeon meets this little baby, he realizes, no. God has come for everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. This rescue isn't just for me, Simeon says. It's for the whole world. As we sang, for those who have been longing to be rescued from their sins and their errors. God knows each of us. He knows our needs. He knows all of our weaknesses. And he sent his son to be our friend in the midst of our needs and weaknesses. And a true friend, the ultimate friend, who lived and obeyed the laws of God where you and I failed, and yet died because of our failure, took the punishment our sins deserve, and rose again from the dead to give us the life that he earned. That's the power of Christmas. That's the invitation of the gospel for you today, no matter what has gone on in your life this year, no matter the darkness that you have or are experiencing, no matter the sin or error that you are ashamed of or feel guilty about, this passage, this hymn, all of the gospel invites you to believe that Jesus was born to rescue you, to be your friend, to be a light in the darkness of your life, and guide you back into the relationship with God that he paid for. It's the same light that a French atheist, an opera singer, and a Jewish composer were touched by as they read it and sung it for the first time. Jesus was born to be a light in the darkness of your life, a new and glorious morning for the weariness that you experience every day, a rescue from your sins and your errors. a light to the world, which is why I get the privilege of lighting this final Advent candle, the Christ candle. In the Gospel according to John, the author writes this to start. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. Will you join me as I pray for us? God, we thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the delight of hearing children talk and laugh and giggle and scream, because it reminds us that you, oh God, entered life as a child. You cried. You giggled. You know what it means to be a member of a family. You experienced chaos for us. You lived perfectly for us. And so I pray for each person here tonight, for those who are lonely, that they would know you to be their friend. For those walking through chaos, that they would know you to be your peace. For those who are walking in the midst of guilt and shame, that they would know you to be their forgiveness. For those walking through darkness, that they would see and know you to be a new and glorious morning, the light of the world. We thank you for the forgiveness you bought us through your death and resurrection. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.